You're listening to WSCA 106.1 FM. We're streaming live online at our website, WSCAFM.org. My name is Mark, and my email address is bnmradio@live.com. You can also check out my podcast page, blacknightmeditations.com. You've been listening to Sledge Leather. This is The Guy Upstairs Live. Before that, the title cuts to the new record, Imagine Me Alive. And that's perfect timing because I've got Sledge Leather vocalist Leather on the phone right now. She's calling in from the West Coast to talk about the new record, Imagine Me Alive. And Leather, are you calling from California right now?
I am indeed. Northern California is where I live, yeah.
So my guess is I'm from Maine. I'm guessing our weather is probably a little bit similar to where you are in Northern California. How is it up there?
Right now it's hot, and yeah, I don't really like it. I'm in the wrong state. It's hot and about 80, yeah.
Ah, well, see, you know, we've been undergoing a heat spell with a mid-80s
well,
up here.
I'm from upstate New York, so I'm right with you, yeah.
Yeah, I don't dig the hot weather at all. Metal is very wintertime, and this heat, I just don't dig it at all. Oh, yeah, I used to live in Germany. Oh, yeah, I miss
you
it.
You did?
Oh, yeah, I miss it. I miss it.
When we were there for the Kit show last year, it was just rain and wind and gray. It was beautiful.
But to me, that's Germany. I mean, when I was there, it was either snowing or overcast. It was just so dark and dreary.
Yeah, it was great.
Oh, yeah, I loved it. It's very metal.
Yeah.
So, again, thanks for calling into WSCA.
Of course.
And we're going to talk about the Sledge Leather record, Imagine Me Alive. Now, I don't want to focus too much on your past because I know you get asked a lot about the Chastain albums you recorded. Hell, I still play the Chastain records here on 106.1. And, you know, you get asked a lot about why you've been out of the scene for so long. I'm not going to go there because you are here.
Who cares? I'm here now.
Well, that's exactly what I was about to say. You're here now. And that's what matters. You're here now. That's what matters. So let's talk this new album, Imagine Me Alive, by your band Sledge Leather. We've been spinning it on 106.1. We just went through a couple of cuts there.
Thanks a lot for the support. I know you guys are spinning it a lot. I really appreciate it.
Our pleasure, and thank you for putting out the record. So for those who are uninitiated, for those who may be new to hearing the record, new to you and don't know your background, let's just go a little bit into the background of Sledge Leather. Who plays on the record?
Sandy Sledge, of course, my partner, is the drummer. We were blessed enough to have Jimmy Bain on bass and Scott Warren on keyboards from the Dio family,
right,
which means a lot to us, anyone who knows anything about us. And then we had Matthias Weishart from Germany on the record.
Yeah, you got a couple of Dio guys, Scott Warren and Jimmy Bain on the record.
Yeah,
Not bad. So is the Imagine Me Alive record the start of a full or part-time band with a focus on writing, recording, future albums?
Yeah, absolutely. We're just going to keep going. This really stimulated Sledge and I, and she's such a massive songwriter. I mean, she writes all the time. We speak the same language, so we are going to carry on with this one, yeah, which we did back in the day, but we both kind of detoured, so we're here to finish what we started, as we say.
So this is not a case of, let's just record a kick-ass metal album and see what happens.
Yeah,
You're in it for the long haul.
Yeah, we're going to continue to do it. You know, we have a lot that we want to say and a lot of inspiration, and you can do it today, you know? You can just keep putting stuff out, so...
The songs off the record that stick out for us here at 106.1 and that we play mostly are, and we tend to play, you know, not just, we don't focus on singles on 106.1. We'll play all songs from entire albums.
Yeah.
But there have been a couple that we tend to like more, and those are The Guy Upstairs Lied and A Taste of Night. Now, first, what can you tell us about The Guy Upstairs Lied?
The Guy Upstairs, that's funny. It actually started being written about a guy that was upstairs from a situation we were all in. It was making a bunch of noise it wasn't supposed to be, and we were like, damn, the guy lied. So we just kind of created it from that. Me, Matt, and Sandy were hanging out in my place in Northern California, and that just all came from there. I know a lot of people are, you know, probably thinking about God or some type of religion, which is fine. It can mean that, but it was literally about someone giving us incorrect information.
Well,
and us being pissed off, you know.
Yeah, and when I saw, before I even heard the song, I saw the song title. I'm thinking, okay, there's a little bit of a Christian God issue here, perhaps. But
yeah,
and I was thinking, now watch it probably be something.
Up, but no, it wasn't about it at all.
And I'm listening to the song. I'm thinking, you know, watch, it's probably going to be something about literally a guy upstairs who is
exactly.
living in an apartment or above them or something.
You can take anything from that title, but it was literally the guy upstairs. We were going, shut up, dude. You know, I mean, yeah.
Now, have you told this gentleman that he's a subject of a song? Does he know
I'm
about
sorry?
This? Have you told this guy that he
you know,
he
I
is
have
a
not, and I think about it all the time because he's an older guy, and I think about just giving him the record. But I should do that. You know, I'm going to do that tomorrow probably because he would get a kick out of it. Yeah.
Well, speaking of kick, he'll probably want kickbacks from that song.
It's going to take a while for this to recoup, but we'll
All right, and another song that that we like is A Taste of Night. What can you tell us about this one?
That's why, I initially called you to thank you so much. That is a song that Sledge and myself and Lois wrote a really long time ago, and it was never really developed. It was a song that always hung heavy with Sledge and I. We always wanted to finish it, and we always wanted it to have a sound like a train. So when we hooked up with Matt and Scott, I mean, that is like my all-time favorite song. Yeah, it's a really old tune. And again, that was written about when we were hanging out up at Haight-Ashbury in San Francisco in Rude Girl. We used to rehearse there. It was the time when Metallica and Megadeth and Testament, I mean, it was intense around here in the late 80s. And we were all, rehearsing in the same areas, and it was just about running around like a crazy person. Yeah, thank you. That's a great song.
And we're talking like hanging out and performing at Ruthie's Inn and then that kind of thing, that kind of scene?
Yeah, when we used to get beer cans thrown in our head opening up for Exodus. It was just great.
Yeah, opening for Exodus,
it's
not easy.
Training ground,
Oh, yeah, and cut your teeth. I mean, it's opening for Exodus, any band, it's not easy.
Any band, yeah. I would actually like to do it now again, but yeah, I mean, you put yourself in a tough position, but, and of course, back then it was a lot tougher. It was such a guy's world, and we were there opening up for all of them. So, it really made us get better.
Everybody needs battle scars, so there you go.
Oh, God, yeah, absolutely. I'm proud to have them.
And you mentioned this was an older song. How much of the material on Imagine Me Alive are taken from riffs or songs from long ago versus how much
was,
is new?
That was it, I believe. That's it, just Taste of Night. Everything else was written new, yeah. That's it, that's the only song.
Okay, so other than that, everything was written for this specific
yeah.
album. Okay. All right, well, these songs, I'm sure, sound great live. Now, you've been asked about this, and I'll try to be a little more specific. Is touring possible in the scope of, support for someone else's tour, like maybe a West Coast run for somebody else's tour,
yeah,
like jumping on that?
Yeah, we're talking to a lot of people. We really want that to happen. Nothing has happened yet. But, it's going to. It's just going to take time. I mean, we're kind of just stepping into the field again, and we're trying to hang out with the big boys, so we have to prove ourselves. It is difficult today without support, but it can be done, and we'll find a way to do it. We played the House of Blues last month in L.A. It went really well. Again, we're talking to a lot of people. Again, can it be done? Yeah, it's difficult, but trust me, we'll figure it out.
And tours aside, you will be doing the occasional live shows, like you just said, the House of Blues.
Oh, yes. And, of course, we want to head over to Europe, That's really what we're trying to do.
As every metal band should be doing and playing over
I mean,
in Europe.
It's so metal there, I can't believe it.
Absolutely.
You know that. Yeah, I mean, when I went to Germany last year, it was the first time that I had been blessed enough to go there. We played in Germany and Switzerland. I didn't want to leave. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, every year that I don't go to the Wacken Festival, I'm like, yet another year I didn't go. And it was just this past weekend I didn't go again, and I kick myself every time. So for a live set, what songs could we expect to hear? Because obviously you've got history, and Sledge has history. There's history there, but you've got the one album. Obviously you want to support that.
Yeah, we basically do the whole album except for the ballad. We don't do one glimpse. And then we throw in a couple Chastain songs. We do Angel of Mercy, which obviously is very well, and Voice of the Cult. But is that all we're doing? Yeah, we do the record, and then we throw in those two songs, yeah.
So around an 8 or 9 song set is about what you do. So if
short and sweet is what we call it.
So if somebody yells out a Chastain song, you guys are able to oblige?
Again, you talk about not wanting to go talk about backwards. I look at it that way, and most people today... And in L.A., they don't really know about that, so it's really beautiful. So we don't have people shouting at stuff. When I was in Germany, we did Ruler also, Ruler of the Wasteland.
Oh, great album.
I really want to get away from that and just move on. But I do, the so-called Chastain hits, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and obviously not looking back, we mentioned that, but when it comes to the live scene, when it comes to playing shows, it's, it's always going to be there. Because you have that history.
For Those Who Dare was the MTV song, so I'm sorry, I think we actually did that over in Europe. So yeah, you have to please the people, but I just really want to do new stuff. But I can't ever imagine getting away from Angel of Mercy or the Voice of the Cult. It will always be there.
So the Imagine Me Alive album has been available for a few months now, and hopefully you've had some reaction to FM radio. For a new band like Sledge Leather, even with an established artist with a history such as yourself, how important is radio to you, or even relevant, given that we're in the internet age and most bands don't even focus on radio.
I'm not sure. I'm sure awfully excited. Munsey did a really great job for us on radio, but I don't know how much it matters. Again, we're talking to a bunch of people. Some people are saying it's who's on your Facebook, it's who knows who, it's filling seats. I'm not quite sure, but I think it's you just need to get out there. So there is, of course, less radio now. To me, you can never be too many places, you know. I'm not really sure, but we're attacking every avenue, you know, to try to figure that out.
And do you find that one avenue works better for you in your, for your specific situation than others?
Well, Facebook seems to be doing great right now just because all my old fans are popping up. And again, when you talk about radio, you know, it makes me think of Sirius Radio. I mean, you certainly try to crack them,
right,
which we are really having a hard time doing because they're so fresh-oriented right now. But you, like I said, you just do everything. Some people say websites are so important, so we're there. You just try to reach people wherever you can.
Right. And
but to me, I would just like to tour. Just put me on the road, have the bus pull up, you know, throw me in all these clubs. So.
Oh, you're ready for the club scene.
Oh,
huh?
My God. I mean, good clubs with people that draw. And it's funny, I was talking to Chastain the other day, and he's like, oh, remember, you know, those horrible shows that we used to play for 30 people? But it's like, yeah, but at the end of all those weeks, there's a great show. So, yeah, I just want to get out and be a road dog all over again. That's what I want to do.
Well, like you said, you're willing to give it a shot and see what happens. And
yeah, and you know, if not, you can always make music. That's what I said to Sledge. We can always put out records. You know, that's the beauty of it today with the internet, and you know, you can just do it yourself. So we will always be able to do it in that capacity.
And when it comes to writing and recording, were there any songs written or even recorded for Imagine Me Alive that were not used?
No, I think we were pretty set on that. Since then, we've done a lot of other stuff. But we were pretty set on those songs from the moment that we started demoing them. They just really seemed to come together. But we do have a lot of other stuff. Yeah, I mean, you know, again, I always laugh about Sandy. She has like 7 records written. But we do have a lot of material. We basically have 2 and 3 written.
Oh, so even though Imagine...
Well, we'll see what happens. So, you know, tomorrow's a new day.
Even though Imagine Me Alive is still new, a second album is on the horizon.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah, yeah. We're totally planning it out, yeah.
And I'm assuming there's not going to be any sort of style change or it wouldn't be anything that's...
I don't know. It's hard to say that. Again, you know, Sledge really wants to explore a bunch of different stuff with me vocally, but I'm a total metalhead, so I think it will always be in the same genre. Yeah, I mean, we're pretty classic metal, you know, we'll see. Who knows? Maybe we'll put out an opera record. You never know.
Well, if she wants to push you vocally, I mean, do you feel that there's a point where you would have to say this should not be, say, under the Sledge Leather moniker because it goes too far?
Sure. You know, we would never go too far because it just wouldn't happen. I mean, again, she writes a lot of different material, and I've recorded some stuff that we do it, and then we're just like, not. I mean, so I will always go there, and I will always try stuff. And again, that's sometimes we butt heads about that. I am just a metalhead. I'm stuck in this type of stuff. This is what I want to do. I don't really think it's ever going to change for me. Even back in the day after Chastain, I had a bunch of offers, and the offers were never for me to continue what I was doing. So, you know, I just didn't do it. It's important to me to just stay. And I mean, that's what I love. That's what I am. I can't do anything else.
That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. But
yeah.
Okay, let's get away from the band. Let's get away from metal, even. Let's talk about you. Try to get at a little more of who you are. And I don't know, again, I'm not talking metal. I'm not talking the band. What's a typical day like for you? I mean, what are your passions? How do you spend your days? What do you
do? I'm really into animals. I'm a huge pit bull person. I do a lot of rescue, and I usually have them. And, you know, I'm into nature. I like to write. I mean, I'm pretty basic. I'm a California girl. You know, I have a new Camaro. I like to drive fast and listen to metal. You know, I'm pretty much a homebody. I'm basically a hermit. If I'm not out doing music, I'm usually alone and by myself. You know, I'm a typical upstate New York girl that just likes to sing in rock bands.
So you're a girl living in California, driving a Camaro, listening to metal. There's absolutely nothing wrong
with a pit bull in the back seat. Yeah,
absolutely nothing wrong with that whatsoever.
Yeah.
So animals are your passion?
Yeah, animals and music have always been my thing, yeah.
Okay. You know, I'd love to sort of somehow draw a correlation between animals and metal. Having a hard time doing that right now.
Metal. Come on, that pit bull's in metal.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, there was an album that somebody put out, like a death metal album with a bird over that, and they call it Hate Beak. It was like a death metal album with a bird on vocals. But, yeah, so...
You're going, not so much.
I mean...
Do you remember that band, God, they used to open for King Diamond called Pitbull Daycare?
I've heard the name. I never listened to them, but I know the name.
They were wild. They had a big old pit bull on the cover, and I went to a couple of the shows, and they like had all these pits on stage. I mean, it was really great.
I mean, the closest I can come to is Thor. Remember Thor? Well, he's still around.
Oh,
but
of course.
Thor from Canada, and he'd bring the dogs out on stage. And
oh, did he? He brought dogs, like what, Rockies
well,
or something? I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, he had a segment of the show. He'd bring the dogs out on stage. Unfortunately, sometimes it wouldn't go so well, and the dogs would get very shy being on stage. There were even some accidents on stage. Anyway.
Yeah, that would be real metal, right? The dog taking
it. See,
oops, hold on. That's funny.
I guess I'm drawing the correlation now between animals
yeah,
and metal.
It's just, you know, it's tenacity and toughness and people being taken back by the way you look. It's totally metal, yeah.
All right, so and let's take this a little bit further, though. Animals aside, what else moves you? That's not metal. That's not animals. What else is
nature? I mean, I love nature. I'm sitting out here right now where I live, looking out at the, you know, the hills and the trees and the sun going down.
Nice.
And I'm going to talk to you. Then I'm going to go run. I mean, I just love nature and quiet. You know, I either blast metal or I go the total opposite way. I mean, it's pretty basic, you know. I mean, I watch movies. I like to drink fine wine. I'm single. I like to be single. You know, pretty simple.
Oh, you know, you said you like to drink fine wine. Now, I myself am not a drinker, but there seems to be so many people in metal now who are creating their own wines, creating their own beers.
I know that.
I mean, it's like somebody's creating either wine, beer, hot sauce, or something.
Well, again, it's about keeping yourself relevant, right, and making money. I mean, it's...
Yeah. Diversify.
I would probably kind of laugh, but who knows?
Well, I
just saw Lemmy on the metal show talking about some stupid wine they did over in Australia. It was funny, but if I saw his picture on it, I'd buy it.
I even read recently that Gravedigger, the band out of Germany, has hair care products.
Oh, come on.
I'm not kidding.
Well, you know what killed me? I was home the other night, and I saw that Judas Priest is on the Honda commercial. Oh,
right,
my God.
Right.
It
yes,
made
I
me cry, but they probably gave him millions of dollars. You know, that's something that really breaks my heart. The whole mixing of all the genres and everybody doing everything, and, you know, you see Jimi Hendrix selling cars. I mean, it's just like, oh, my God. I'm really old-fashioned when it comes to that. It breaks my heart. Priest should be playing Colosseums, not, you know, doing Honda commercials. But, you know, they probably got millions of dollars for it.
Yeah, I'm sure they've got quite a bit of money. And,
yeah.
Legitimately.
And I just hope that they wrote it, so they're getting all the money.
I mean, speaking of Priest, and at least they're getting credit for it, whereas I think there's some clothing store, I think it's Old Navy or something like that, that actually has taken the Screaming for Vengeance album cover and removed the Judas Priest logo and are just using it as like some generic shirt. And it's like, I'm thinking Priest is not even going to get credit for this. They're not even going to get paid. So,
well, you know, a lot of it, unfortunately, I think, Mark, has become nostalgia. It's like, oh, look what used to happen. And
yep, you're right.
I mean, you know, the kids that don't know anything about Dio or even Rob Zombie or, I don't know, it's just a different time. You know, it's a different time for us.
No, I hear you. And like that shirt I was referring to, of course, it's made to look like it's been worn and beaten up and
oh,
it's faded.
Yeah,
and,
just buy it and put it in the washer, yeah.
Okay, so we've talked pit bulls, we've talked Imagine Me Alive, and we talk about the here and now, and instead of the past, focus on you because you're here now. So let's talk future. Again, the record's only been out a few months, but let's talk future. Where are we going from here? Where's Sledge Leather going? Where's Leather going from here?
Well, again, we're talking to a lot of people. We're submitting, you know, ourselves to all the festivals and all the labels. We're just reaching out to see who would be best to work with us on our team. We're doing a lot of press, and we're really trying to get on the road. You know, I mean, I don't know what else to say. We just want to get on the road. And, of course, when I go to L.A. where Sledge is, we do obvious work on new material. So we will probably start recording by the end of this year. You know, you just move forward. You know, you talk to everybody every day. Like I said, we're doing this all ourselves. So, you know, you just keep pushing. We have a big sign that says you keep calm and carry on. But we want to keep making records, and we want to go out and tour. And I think it will take a little time, but, you know, we'll get out there.
All right, so And maybe this goes to looking back just a little bit, but what are the chances of Sledge Hillary recording some cover tunes?
That comes up a lot, too. I've always had a...
And I'm not talking about the obvious ones.
About that. I don't know. I've never really liked doing that. And when I did that Egypt thing, when Sledge and I did the Egypt thing,
right.
You know, we just did it for ourselves and for Ronnie and for Wendy. I never wanted that to get out, but stupid me, right, with YouTube. We talk about it. I don't know.
And
I don't know. Is it a way to get attention? I don't know. I've always been really weird about that. The deal thing always comes up for me. People are like, oh, do this, do that. I'm not sure.
And what I'm thinking of is not the obvious songs like with your past or whatever, but I'm thinking I like it. And, I was actually doing a special covers program a couple of weeks ago, and I like it when metal bands cover non-metal songs.
You do?
Oh, I love it. And, of course, we all know the greatest metal cover of all time is Priest covering Diamonds and Rust, which is Joan Baez. So, I mean, metal bands covering non-metal.
Good point. And I guess, you know, you just hit it on the head. If you could do a cover and totally make it your own, which we have talked about, like grabbing an Elf song, just something really obscure. So there you go. Yeah, but you have to change it up, although I must tell you, I love Godsmack. What did they just, I just heard it on the radio. I think they did Rocky Mountain High. I love it.
Wow, haven't heard it, and I'm going to avoid that one like the plague.
Yeah,
but
of course, you know, he could sing Jingle Bells, and you'd love it. But yeah, sounds really good.
Anyway.
But you know, I mean, it's always, you know, it's always an option. Like I said, I don't say no to anything. I will try anything. When you get into the studio, you lay it down, you see what it sounds like, then you make the decision.
I've got a hell of an idea for you.
What?
You join Rob Halford in the studio and record with him another Christmas album. Halford does Christmas music. You know how awesome that would be?
I would love it.
You know how awesome that would be?
We were playing studio tag with when we did IMA with Testament up here at Trident Studios with Juan Ortega, who had done the Machine Head records. So, God, we were so happy to have him. And, you know, we were trying to goof around with Chuck Billy saying, dude, you know, just do a ballad with Leather. But you know him. He's like, yeah, right, whatever. But yeah, I mean, yeah, I'd do anything with Rob Halford.
All right, so the future is you're going to be recording probably the end of this year.
Yeah.
And we're looking at a second album next year.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, next year, yeah.
All right, so let's talk about how people can get in touch with you and find out more about the band and catch up with you.
The best place to go is sledgeholder.com. You can get on Facebook from there. You can buy the record. And, of course, it's all the normal places. Normal, I say. Usual, the iTunes, and I think it's on Spotify and eMusic. You know, it's all of those places, but you can certainly get it directly through us.
All right, so sledgeholder.com, you do the Facebook thing.
Yeah,
so
Facebook and all the YouTube videos. And, yeah, we're all over YouTube. I mean, you know.
And
Facebook, yeah.
You've got the social media covered. And,
yeah.
And you connect directly with people yourself? Are you one of those?
Oh, absolutely. A lot of times they don't believe me. Because, you know, a lot of our basis is people from other countries. So, you know, I'll, like, message them back, and they're like, you know, good try or whatever. But, yeah, of course I do that. You know, those people have been following me for a long time, and, you know, I appreciate them so much. Again, when Sledge and I went to Germany, it was like one big family. Everybody knew everything. I mean, I couldn't believe it because I was, you know, I don't get nervous as a vocalist, but when we were just about to go on, I was just going, Jesus, what did I do? What did I do? And, you know, I went out there in front of 3,500 screaming kids from every age group, and they knew everything that we had ever done. It was just great.
Well, you certainly made your mark with those Chastain records, that's for sure.
Yeah,
I mean, I still love them to this day.
Yeah, I guess we did okay.
Yeah, like I said, I still play them on 106.1. I still listen to them myself. So
you've certainly
made your mark. Oh, yeah. I mean, Ruler of the Wasteland would be my favorite.
Me too. That's my favorite record. Of course,
cool.
The production is 80s scary. But
oh, but
yeah,
see, that's what I love about it.
It's got
that shrapnel sound. That's what I love about that.
And, you know, Mike Varney is totally not into metal. I'm back in touch with him, and what is he doing, all this blues crap? I mean, he's totally out of it.
Yeah, but those records with that sound, there's so many that have that sound.
I love it.
Still to this day, I love it. I grew up listening to it. I still do. Still love it. Hey, Leather, thank you very much for your time. I really appreciate it. And best wishes for the future of Sledge Leather.
Great. And, yeah, thank you. And again, thanks for playing the record. It means so much to us.
Yeah, we're going to keep playing it. I'm going to do another Sledge Leather tune now. Even going to spin an old Chastain classic as well. So thank you very much for your time. And take
care.
Thanks,
Mark. I'll stay in touch with you. You with me also.
Absolutely. We'll have you
thank
back
you.
On again
Bye-bye.
Soon. That's the fate of the monster.